When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Beef Brothers, sorting out your briefs, Cold Cuts.
Cold Cuts. Oh,
I love it there.
We're sorting out them briefy briefs.
Briefs.
We're not just sorting out your beefs anymore. We're going into your underwear drawer and having a little rummage. But don't worry, only to like Marie Kondo it and, you know, roll them all up nice and small and stack them. In fact, we talk about this later. This is actually treading on the toes of stuff we talk about in the podcast. So let's not waste any more time.
What a treat it is. This week we have one of our podcasting and comedy heroes, Mr. Adam Buxton.
Yes. Enjoy the episode. If you do enjoy this episode, don't forget that if you go to our Patreon, for just $5 and above, you get a free bonus episode every single day. We're doing daily episodes during the lockdown. So get on there now, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. They're really fun episodes. And we've done nearly 30 of them now. So 30, loads to listen 000 to.
30,000 episodes.
30,000 episodes to enjoy. Before we get to Adam, I just wanted to read this out really quickly.
Yes, go on.
We got this message on Twitter. At Pappy's tweet, if you want to get in touch. Tibbs on Twitter, you know, in the Lulu Popplewell episode, we were talking about names like Charity Knight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he gets in touch to say, I used to work with a Hollywood and a Winifred Chimes who went by Win Chimes.
Nice.
Yeah. Any more of those, we'll gratefully accept. Get in touch with us, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, and you can also send all your beefs there as well. But let's get cracking, shall we? Let's listen to the episode.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers, sorting out your beef.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Look at you with your long, luxuriant hair.
I know. This is a proper... I mean, I normally wear it long, but this is really... This is proper lockdown hairdo.
Yeah, man. It suits you. You look like podcast Jesus.
I'll take that. We got that, right? We were recording that.
Yeah,
podcast Jesus.
And how are you, Ben and Tom? And
very
Emma,
well, thank
nice
you.
To see you.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Going to go up on the moor at the weekend. It's, you know...
Kill some people.
Kill a few people. It's always good. It feels like the right place to kill someone on a moor, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. What else do you do on a moor?
you can kill them, and it's slightly romantic at the same time.
Yeah, there's a sort of tempestuous love affair aspect to it as well, which is nice. Yeah,
which is nice. It is nice to have that.
It's nice. Yeah, it's really nice.
How are you doing, buddy?
Now I'm all right, man. Yeah, very good. I'm just checking. I want to give you an honest answer. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Up and down, you know, I think like everyone else, isn't it? It's sort of good days thinking, yeah, this is nice. And then bad days, you look at the news and you feel bad for people. And then sometimes you just sort of think, oh, I'm a bit worried and I feel mad. And also, I always make the mistake of looking at the BBC News website first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I think it's shit. I think it might be shit. Like there's no sort of coherent, they can't really make up their minds if they are the lickspittles of the government, basically, you know, parroting everything that Boris Johnson says, or are they striking a note of suspicion and dissent, you know, and it leaves me just feeling depressed and confused, basically.
So what you really want you want to be like in China or somewhere where there's just one source of news.
There's no doubt.
And it just, there's no, yeah, that's what you don't like is the ambiguity of the news at the moment.
I think that's the thing that is beneath, stop me if we need to just start doing this properly, but that I do think that is part of the thing that no one is really able to talk about is that, you know, there's a whole program about, oh, why is it going so much better for the people in Korea? Well, because they all fucking do what they're told. That's why.
Absolutely,
because everyone
yeah.
in this country and in America are like, no, I'm not fucking doing that. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, there's nothing like the pain of immediate death to make you really start listening to the government.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
It makes those haircuts feel less urgent, doesn't it?
But then, you know, if we were living in North Korea, we'd get the sort of government issue haircut and we wouldn't, there'd be no choice to the matter.
You certainly wouldn't be podcast Jesus, would you?
I wouldn't be podcast Jesus. No, I'd be podcast Jong Il.
That's also going on the poster.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, as long as I have some level of power, that's all I care about.
Pod Jong Il. I've got my Joe Rogan microphone.
Yeah,
yeah, I was going to say, today. Are you, yeah, so we do have a lot of incels who listen to our podcast, so it's the perfect it's the perfect setup.
This is my cheesy DJ recording studio. I've never played that before.
You had it so close to hand as well.
I know, I've got all these things that I literally never touch.
You're listening to I've Never Played That Before.
It's not a bad idea for a show.
I know,
actually.
I quite like that.
Or what about I've Never Played With That Before? That would be a different
it's
kind
it's
of
a
show.
Fruitier version of it. That'd be a little bit later on in the evening. Yeah.
It's ITV2, not BBC4.
Exactly. I do like the idea of you get an instrument and you give it to a top celebrity that's never played the instrument before and just see how they get on with it.
Yes.
But you do it
I've been doing that all my life. Not that I'm a top celebrity, but I am surrounded by instruments that I can't play.
Have you got anything else you want to give us a bash on?
This is my go-to. This is a Q chord. And it is really great. I like anything that sort of arpeggiates and creates chords. So you've immediately got just...
That's sort of the demo feature, isn't it?
A groove, but then you can change the chord.
Oh my god.
Oh. And then you can go.
Are you going to soundtrack the whole show? That's like, this was like a
I could do.
Quite a professional sounding bed.
I mean, it's good, and it's got several presets, and I have just raided that thing this way and that for the last 15 years or something.
How much did that set you back? Because Tom was looking at a guitar the other day and thinking, I think I could learn the guitar in lockdown. Well, we've told him he can't. There's no way he can. There's no way Tom's got the musical ability to learn guitar. No. But that feels like you just pressed a few buttons and a sort of serviceable song came out of it.
Yeah, I am Googling how much they are also known as omnichords. And you can get more or less expensive versions of them. I mean, they're basically about 150 quid or something.
Oh,
it's not the end of the world.
150 quid. Well, that's 50 quid from me, 50 quid from Clarky, 50 quid from you, Adam. We could give sort this out. Give Parry a nice lockdown present.
Yeah. Playing guitar. My son is right now having a guitar lesson with one of our friends who is in Birmingham, and I was supposed to be doing it with him, but I forgot I was talking to you guys. And he is supposedly learning how to play guitar. So yeah, people are doing it.
Well, it's nice to know that you've decided to do this rather than spend quality time with your son.
Oh no.
Yeah, I've had
you've thrown a little bit of guilt into the whole recording now, haven't you? Sort of like to spend time with my son, but now I've got to chat to you guys.
We've had too much quality time recently. Last night, my son, my eldest son, and my wife gathered together and we watched a film called Avengement. Have you seen that?
No.
No.
It was described as John Wick on a micro budget.
Great.
But it's more violent than that. Like, it's ridiculously violent. And there's almost no story whatsoever. It's like, geezer goes to prison and his brother on the outside arranges for all the villains in the prison to kill him in case he grasses him up. So every day he's in prison, people come and try and smash his face in. But he turns himself into a fighting machine. And he fights back and he kills most of them. And then eventually breaks out of prison and goes to find his brother and kill him and a load of other blokes in a pub. And that's basically it. And it's just swearing and extreme violence for an hour and a half. So
Sold.
After that, we'd all had enough of each other. Me and my wife and my son just need some time apart.
This seems to come up a lot on the podcast. But what, like, if you ended up in prison, when you end up in prison, what kind of a prisoner do you think you're gonna? I mean, do you think you've got it in your back pocket to turn into a fighting machine?
That's exactly what I was thinking about while I was watching.
Do you not think about that when you're watching a film like that?
Yeah. I think I would be a kind of, I'd be probably a sort of weaselly fix-it guy. I'd be just I'd be sliming around trying to ingratiate myself and doing deals. Or I'd be just cheering people up.
Yeah, you smuggle your Omnicord into prison.
I was going to say, yeah, someone comes to deck you and you just pull out a little instrument and play a little ditty and they're like, oh, actually, I'm thoroughly charmed.
He's the Omnicord guy. Yes. Hang on. There must be a con like me in every prison. I'm the guy with the Omnicord. There you go.
Here we go.
You can't get shivved to this kind of music.
Maybe you shouldn't have done that crime before. Hang on, I'm going to say that again.
I don't know if you want to be moralising to the people who are about to beat you up.
That's a good point. Hang on. Please don't beat me up. I'm a really nice guy. I can get you stuff like toothpaste and a Spanish fly. I don't know why I mentioned Spanish fly. I guess it goes because it rhymed. Oh, please don't beat me up. No, I mean, there you go. I wouldn't.
Two Spanish flies, please.
What is a Spanish fly?
Isn't it an aphrodisiac? You don't want to be giving up. You don't want to be giving the man who's about to beat you up. I mean, it would certainly change his tack if you've got him all horn dogged.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the kind of person I would try and provide some sort of edifying service for the prisoners. You know what I mean? Like I would help them write letters. Home. In the old days, that's nice. What people used to, like, yeah. Villains yeah. never used to be able to write letters home.
Yeah.
But I think most prisoners can write.
That's,
now,
so what you're that's gonna... it as well. You're gonna find the heart of gold in the hard screws. That'll be your talent. You bring
that's
out,
right.
You bring out their soft side.
No, I guess what I would do is help them produce an award-winning podcast about life inside. I remember whenever me and Joe were nominated for an award when we were at Six Music, which we were a few times. We went to the Sonys and we were always beaten by these people that did prison radio.
You can't beat that. Yeah, that's it.
We were beaten to death.
Well, that was pre-Omnicord, wasn't it? You didn't have anything to pacify them.
No, they apparently, yeah, they've just got the best radio going on there, and they're making these extraordinary moving pieces of radio.
But there's only one way to hear that, and you have to do Bird. Is that like, yeah. You know, you have to get inside to listen.
So good, you don't want to leave.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you can. I think I'm not sure, actually. That is a good point. I'm not sure if it's just in the in prison. You have to be in prison to listen. No, surely not. Sure.
Because
it's winning a Sony.
If he's broadcasting to the outside world, you know, the DJ, presumably also another prisoner, could be communicating messages out to you know, say, go and kill my brother because my brother's trying to kill me.
Here's a harp.
That's right. They'll be telling them where all the booty is buried and all that stuff. Is that kind of... I'm using the right prisoner lingo, right?
No. They're going to booty call by All Saints and...
Yeah.
Or they're made all the link perfectly.
They're all just pirates.
So what we've slightly gone off topic here, because that's not really what we're supposed to be talking about, but
sorry.
It was no, please don't apologize. It's the first person anyone's brought an person who's brought an Omnicord onto the podcast, so it's delightful to have you on. I mean, you're not a flatmate, obviously. You're a father and husband, but
yes.
What kind of a person are you to live with?
Ooh, actually, I was thinking about that before because you asked if I had any kind of beefs with other members of the household, and I was thinking
it's
more likely that they've got beefs with me. I'm sure. I mean, I always like to think of myself as easygoing and fun, but I'm probably not. I've got quite a good sense of smell, and so I'm constantly going around the house just going, "What is that?" And sometimes it's real things. The other day, I smelt death.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. And I was thinking, where is that death coming from? am I imagining it? Or what? Is that, my farts? Or is that actual death? And I couldn't find it. And I thought, okay, something's died. It's a rat. Because we've had a rat that's died in the ceiling before. Yeah. Oh. And I was crawling around up in the attic and... couldn't find it. Anyway, I eventually found that a baby rabbit had somehow got in the house, crawled underneath the shower. There's a sort of little space beneath the base of the shower that should be inaccessible but isn't. And the poor rabbit had expired under the shower and was stinking the place up. Anyway, that's a sad story.
Yeah, that's a really upsetting story to start off with.
Good. I was going to... sense of smell it.
So what you're saying is you're a bad person to live with, but you're not the worst thing in your house because there is a dead baby rabbit under your shower.
Yeah, but the dead baby rabbit's probably more sympathetic than I am. No, so I'm very... I'm not controlling exactly, but I am like... I do like things a certain way, so I find it very difficult to shut up when things are annoying. You know, I mean, just standard stuff. I go on about it all the time, like... people leaving the dishwasher drawer open, yeah. You know, the door of the dishwasher open, cupboard doors open. So you kind of turn around and go to get a cup out of the cupboard and you just get smacked in the face by the side of the door. Things like that. I've got a very nice set of ceramic knives that are extremely sharp. And I have them mounted on a block on the wall. And I thought if I did that, it would be a clear indication that no one else was really welcome to use the knives, that these were my knives. And of course, but I never actually said that because I thought, well, that would be sort of insane and fascistic. So everyone just uses the knives and then they don't put them back in the block. And they just also, you're not supposed to put them in the dishwasher. Just stop me anytime.
This is exactly what we want to talk about.
This is what
I'm not supposed to put the ceramic knives in the dishwasher. They put them in the dishwasher. They don't put them back in the block. Someone's already dropped one of the knives and the tips come off. It's broken off.
Oh, my God.
No one will admit to it. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know who that was.
Someone killed a baby rabbit
with one of them.
Exactly.
Right, so is a ceramic knife, they're all, or every part of the knife ceramic? Am I being stupid?
The blade is ceramic.
The blade's ceramic?
Yeah. So it's white, and the idea is, well, it's true that they don't need sharpening. I'm not sure if you are able to sharpen a ceramic. I shouldn't have a ceramic knife.
No.
Because I don't know enough about them. But they are sharper and easier to keep sharp than a standard steel blade. So they're pretty great. And when you come and slice up a really unforgiving squash.
That's the hardest vegetable, isn't it? To hack away at.
Sometimes you can get exhausted, and there's always a chance that if you're trying to slice through like half a mean firm squash, that knife might slip and you could injure yourself in all kinds of ways. With the ceramic knife, it just glides through the squash and the squash just falls into two pieces, obligingly saying, "Come inside me."
Oh my God.
I say, "Whoa, steady on, squash."
Transporting me back to prison.
That's not on the recipe. But so they are great. They are a game changer, and I want to protect them. But no one else in the house seems to care. So I'm always just, I'm basically ping ponging between sort of wandering around, sniffing at things, going, "What is that smell in the fridge? Why is the fridge smelling like that? Have you bought cheese? I don't like cheese. I mean, I hate cheese."
Oh, you hate cheese, and you've got a keen sense of smell. You might be a terrible housemate.
No, I am. I'm beginning to realise as I'm speaking that I'm a fucking nightmare.
is your sense of smell the reason you're not a cheese fan?
I would say that's part of it. Yeah, I don't like death and the smell of death. So, you know, that's why I don't like cheese.
Do you think cheese smells of death? Surely, no. I mean,
yeah, it does. Come what? On.
Well, right. All cheeses, like across the board cheeses, like a mild cheddar still smells of death to you.
Yeah, if you put all the elements that are in the smell of death in a Venn diagram and then you put all the elements that make cheese smell of cheese, they are going to cross over hugely, those two Venn diagrams. Just a sort of, you know, musty, decaying funk. It's all lots of things decaying cheese, isn't it?
Sort of dusty, possibly some sort of fecal matter in there. That's kind of what I'm imagining the smell of death is. I think that's...
Oh, I thought you were describing cheese.
No!
there you go.
Well, I am to you, but no, I love... It's one of the great joys in life is a nice cheese board. It doesn't remind me... It makes me feel alive. It's quite the opposite. I don't think of it as a death board.
What about when your feet really stink? Does that make you feel alive?
Yeah, it sort of does, actually. Proves I'm living, doesn't it? It proves that, you know, I'm using these feet. I'm walking around. I'm getting my steps in.
Yeah, you've got a disease. That's what it proves. It proves that you've got athlete's foot.
Yeah, but, you know, like an athlete. There's nothing else I'm doing. Nothing else I'm doing is like an athlete. This is a great, you know, at least my feet are like...
Just having damp feet.
Yeah.
Like an athlete would.
Like an athlete or, you know, like a soldier in the trenches. Like, you know, trench foot, athlete's foot. These are things to, you know, aspirational figures.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop here because I'm getting a real hankering for some cheese with this talk.
Well, shall we? We've actually got a freezer-based beef. Clarkie, I think I sent it to you. Have you got
you
your...
did, yes. I've got...
Should we start with knotty beef?
Knotty beef from Ben via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch,
Get
guys.
Get in touch.
Hello, lads, producer and guest. My housemate, also girlfriend, has a habit of tying knots in packets, brackets, bread, frozen peas, etc. Despite the fact that we have clips to keep these things sealed, and trying to undo a frozen knot is an unnecessary expenditure of time and effort, and I cannot and do not need. I have asked her to not do this and explained why, but it still happens. Can you solve the beef? Many thanks, Ben. Front names only.
Okay, right. Adam, where do you stand on the tying the knot in the packets?
What's the name of that fellow?
Ben.
1000% sympathy with Ben. I think that sounds like a living nightmare.
Well,
I mean, I know we're in the middle of a cataclysmic pandemic living nightmare, but that just takes it to a different level.
That's the cherry on top. That's the knot on top of the...
No, that is absolutely infuriating. That's unforgivable.
But hang on.
And also, he correctly points out there's clips. I mean, the clips are bad enough, but if you really need to seal those packets, that's what the clips are for.
Well, hang on a sec. Let's talk about why clips are bad enough, because surely, how else... If you're not... Are you using just a twist of the bag? Is that all you're using?
I do like a twizzle.
I'll do a twizzle is fine.
A twizzle is fine for a large bag of garden peas in a freezer. They're going to scatter everywhere.
Yeah.
No, not if you do it carefully. You're not like... Exactly. Let's start with the aperture. What kind of an aperture are you creating in the packet to begin with?
You're getting a pair of scissors and you're just chopping off a corner. That's all you need.
Small corner. If it's a small corner, then you're going to be fine. If you're just like, this is the thing with my son as well, who is 15 okay. and just sort of, I want, there's got to be another word. I was going to use a bad word, but he sort of violates the cereal packets.
I can imagine, yeah, sure.
Tears open the top of the cereal packet. So it's just every single time he goes to serve himself some Cheerios, they just go everywhere. There's no way they're just going in the bowl. Everywhere around the house is just covered in Cheerios because of his sloppy aperture creation skills or lack thereof. And so if you just make a small hole And then when you're finished with the packet of peas or whatever it is, as Ben says, you give it a twist, or what's wrong with a nice fold? And then you just lean the packet against something else so that the fold remains down. Everything stays fresh and nice and cold.
You're living in a dream world.
Why is that no good?
Well, I'm 100% with you.
Look, for someone who's complaining about stench and smell getting out, like, smell is not going to be held back by a fold and a lean, you know?
There's no smell of frozen peas in the freezer. Ooh, frozen pea stench. That's not something that is
no, but like
regularly a problem for me.
The stench of fresh bread.
But like, if you carry the rule across the board, you know, folds and twizzles, it's not enough, is it? Like a knot is going to give you the security that you crave in terms of like not having a contamination of smells. The knot is the tried and tested. It's been going on for centuries. The fold and the lean hasn't been going on. Like, that was,
We're not on a sail ship. We're not asking you to fold and lean the mast.
You don't have a twizzle badge in the Scouts. Do you know what I mean? No one's gone, that's a fine twizzle. Oh,
Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I want to remind you, though, that we are talking specifically about a guy dealing with the contents of a freezer.
Yeah.
That stuff is not stinking, really. It's all frozen. All you need to do is just stop everything from scattering around the inside of the freezer. And to do that, a fold or a twist is going to do the job. You don't need to start, like, making knots in things unless you're not going to be using them for a while, surely. But
say, for example, you're reaching into the freezer, you're pulling out a bag of frozen cherries. The peas at this stage are still leaning against the side of the, you know, the side of the drawer.
Bag of frozen cherries has really piqued everyone's interest.
Oh, everyone likes the side of that
frozen cherry.
I'm going to buy some glacé cherries and freeze them today, and then I'm going to suck on them all weekend.
This is very much my wife's sort of TV treat. If we're watching telly and she wants a snack, she just gets the frozen cherries out the freezer. Eat some frozen. Yeah.
Woo.
They're like little sort of icy sweets.
Yeah, man. And have you heard of alcohol?
that's very much my treat.
Alcohol and popped a few frozen cherries in there instead of ice cubes.
Do you know, that's a brilliant idea.
Oh mate. Right.
Oh my God.
This is a great idea.
Yes, yes, yes. And then you
do it responsibly, obviously. But
you could do like a frozen cherry mojito. Now that's a that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I was thinking
you could do a savoury version with gravy and frozen peas that you've got rolling around in the tray.
Yeah, at Christmas you can do Brussels sprouts.
I love the idea. The old roasty cocktail. With a little, what you do is with the Yorkshire pudding, just you tear a little half out of the Yorkshire pudding and just stick it on the side of the glass.
Lovely. Yes.
Or you could do, like IKEA meatballs in there, frozen meatballs.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a good idea.
It's not a bad idea at all, actually. Well, that hasn't quite solved the problem.
Maybe it has. Maybe if you just shifted to frozen cocktails, a couple of those, and you're not going to worry about having a knot in the freezer.
You're going to worry far less if you're drinking gravy.
Bottom line, undoing a frozen knot is bad. That will drive me absolutely sad.
You've driven me to the edge of sadness here.
So what have you got? Okay, so I'm doing the frozen knot. Let's say that's bad. Okay, we'll get rid of the frozen knots. What have you got against the pegs or the clips?
Just another layer of irritation and annoyance. One more thing to do. I just think for example, I'm aware that I'm all over the place here as far as being uptight. Ooh, look, I'm wandering around objecting to the smell of this and that, and why aren't my knives in the block? And at the same time, I'm like, well, I'll just fold it. Who cares? But but I think that it does work if you just do it conscientiously. Like, for example, if you've got a fairly large packet of crisps, what are you going to do after you've had a handful of crisps? Those large, fairly stiff packets.
Oh, those little kettle chip bags, yeah.
That's right.
You roll up the top and put a garden peg on the top of it. That's what I do.
Garden peg, is it? Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got to have a garden peg handy. And
well, I've got a drawer that's full of them. Yeah, this is just, you know, it's just a little bit of forethought, a little bit of extra planning.
You've got a peg drawer?
Yeah, you say that, but that's not really...
Got a peg drawer, yeah.
You've got a peg drawer and frozen cherries. What a life you're living.
I know.
He's just got treats all over the place.
What a life you're living, Crosby.
They call me podcast Jesus.
Pop a cherry in there, pop a peg on that.
Absolutely.
What a life.
No, peg is good, sure. I think that is a good idea. But we, you know, it's a family of five and there's no discipline and the peg is just going to go wandering. No one's going to use the peg. So basically a fold of the crisps and then lie them down so that they, the fold is not just going to pop back up. And
firstly, I love the idea that you've got a bag of crisps in a family of five and the crisps aren't being eaten in one sitting. Secondly, I think we've hit on something. We've hit on something here, isn't it? Because you were saying you're inconsistent in your... in the way that you sort of approach these household chores. Sometimes they drive you up the wall, other times you're quite laissez-faire. But is that because you've had to adapt to a laissez-faire attitude to certain things because you know there are certain battles you'll never win? Are you secretly,
yeah, exactly.
You're secretly a clip man, but you think there's no point with a, we can't do a clip in this household. So I'm going to, I'm going to, as an affectation, adopt a very laissez-faire attitude to the entirety of the freezer. I'm just going to.
No, you're right.
As I'm chilled out freezer guy.
As an affectation, that's so damning.
Well, it happens to me, doesn't it? No, I'm not. It's not damning. It's just I'm just trying to get to that. I'm just trying to get.
It's just
to the,
one of your little affectations that
I'm
you pretend
to
not
center
care
of
about.
The man. I'm trying to understand Adam here, so we can understand better why he's so.
What a crap affectation to adopt. Like, oh no, I know what my thing's going to be. I'm going to be the guy who doesn't care about peas in the freezer. Yeah, that's fresher week sorted for me. I'm the peas guy.
That would be enough for a character in a sitcom, though, wouldn't it? Or at least it would be in a sitcom that I would write.
Sure. I don't know if you've seen Bad Alts, but yeah.
It's the peas guy.
He doesn't mind about peas.
One of the early notes we got back on our first treatment for Bad Alts was wearing a dressing gown isn't a character. And you know what? They were right.
They were right. But we stuck to our
guns. Wearing the dressing gown. I think that I don't think that's necessarily right. I think it's all in the casting. You get the right person in that dressing gown.
Amen. Okay. Let's not pick at that scab.
I think that was the problem. That was the problem.
Sitcom magic. No, you're absolutely right. It's inconsistent because if I was living alone, I would be living this semi-obsessive compulsive. I know obsessive compulsive disorder is a serious thing, and I'm glad that I don't fully suffer from it. But I would be struggling with some minor form of that, and everything would be just so and the way I want it, and it would be clips and all the knives would be in the knife block and the dishwasher. Actually, I wouldn't even have a fucking dishwasher because they're a total waste of everything. I would just wash up my plates after I use them. I don't understand why that's so hard. Anyway, but living with five other humans and one great great dog means that there does have to be a certain amount of latitude, otherwise it's a disaster area.
Yeah.
So it's inconsistent. There are some things that I find myself not being able to budge on, and I can't stop myself moaning about them. But on the whole, I try to be a bit more relaxed.
So what's...
Well, is this our advice to Ben?
What's our advice to Ben?
What we say to him? Do we say, look, some battles you're not going to win, just don't care too much about it? Or do we say to him...
I've got a really sad suggestion for Ben.
Chop the knots off.
Well, what's the sad one?
It's like,
you're not gonna say.
Wait a second, that's sounding suspiciously like avengement. Chop his knots off. There.
Get the omnicord.
What about experimenting with containers? I don't know what age Ben's at in his life, but you know, there's nothing wrong with going out there, you know, flirting with some Tupperware. You know, get a Tupperware set. The peas go in there. Suddenly, you're just dealing with lids. Oh, hello! It all stacks. I don't want to be that guy. I know, like, you know,
we all know that guy who puts his peas in Tupperware.
I love that guy.
You know, is Tupperware guy a good sitcom character? It's like, you know,
Tupperware guy with dressing gown.
There he is.
That is a great sitcom character. That's
a fully
classic.
Rounded character. That's perfect.
BAFTA.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think yeah, you know,
he reaches
Tupperware.
He reaches into the pocket of his dressing gown, pulls out a Tupperware. Who knows what's inside? The episode carries on from there. You know, it's great. Yeah, this is at the start of every episode. It's him reaching into his dressing gown. Yeah, exactly. What's he found in his Tupperware this week? The only thing, Tom, I would say about Tupperware guy is that he is going to run into trouble when, say, there's, you know, like 35 p's left, right? And he's got a full-size Tupperware in the cupboard. And he wants to, you know,
no, but you,
what do you do now?
You've gone for the set. You've got smaller sizes of Tupperware. Nothing more so satisfying.
So that means he's have to decant every single time.
Every time. I mean,
he's going to have to work down Russian doll style. He's going to have to work down in sizes through Tupperware. I think this to me, if you're someone who's annoyed by undoing a knot, then no way you re-decanting your peas every meal. That's an impossible world to live in.
If you want to go that way, have a pea pot, and it's like, that's for the peas.
You can't call it the pea pot.
He hasn't got a pot to pee in.
Buy your missus a pot to pee in.
What does my pea pot smell of death?
This is reminding me of university.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And have a little pea pot. That's where your pot's going, and off you go.
Can I ask you seriously, all of you, if you ever have had a pea pot, like to actually pee in?
No.
Yeah, because you couldn't be like, you've lived somewhere where maybe the toilet is not close, and so you just think
it's either
a sink or a pea pot.
Yeah, my brother did for a few years. He used to live in a place where he was on the top floor, and the bathroom was three floors down and along the bottom of the house. So he quite often used to adopt that with a pint glass he kept next to his bed.
Pint glass.
Which he obviously woke up one morning very hungover and reached for what he thought was a glass of water on his bedside table. And yeah, I think that was the end of pee pot for him.
My housemate at uni had a Pringles can that he washed out and reused.
No, because Pringles.
Because in his
did you go to university with Ollie Murs?
in his words, he said, "Well, it's lined with foil, so I can reuse it."
Oh, what was he studying at university?
It was some kind of
It wasn't science.
No, it wasn't science. No. He was the guy
terrible.
Yeah, he fed the rat as well. We had like a rat, and we were like, oh God, we've got a rat. And he was like, yeah, I've been feeding I saw him a few weeks ago, I've been feeding him every day. And he named the rat, was feeding him.
Out of a different Pringles can. It was a variety of Pringles cans all around
the room. It was a real system of Pringles cans going.
So what are we saying to Ben? Because I realise we've spent quite a lot of time on this, and we've got a variety of solutions. There's either, you know, cut a small aperture and fold and lean, or twizzle. There's put everything in a Tupperware, or
I just remembered that this whole conversation started with Adam screaming, "What about the aperture?"
I think that's, you've got to take it. You've got to walk the whole conversation back. He's got to sit down with his partner and say, "Look,
listen,
we can solve
this
whole problem by considering the whole problem."
That's very nice. It's very nice.
I think that's it. I was going to say, what about bread?
Let's
you know
not.
What? We've talked too much about it. Let them sort that out. They seem like adults, yeah.
Bread, I mean, obviously you spin it.
You spin it.
Here's a question.
Hold it under. Hold it under. Ben knows.
The weight of the bread. You're fine.
Yes, mate.
Do you reattach the small plastic sell-by date often?
I have a lot of fun trying to keep that going as long as possible.
I reattach the small little bit of plastic to...
I do to amuse myself, but I've yet to get my 15-year-old son on board.
Then he'll be a man. Then he'll truly be a man.
Yeah, Rudyard Kipling's poem. Slightly less poetic version.
If they were going to repurpose "if" for a bread advert, that's what it would be about.
Hovif.
Yeah.
Hovif, exactly.
Beef.
Right.
Beef
solved.
Beef closed.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is a message from Ronan, who says, Is Ronan a male man or a lady woman or something other?
Ooh,
we don't know. Dear Beef Brothers, I'm currently stuck at home with my kids in lockdown. My eldest, who is 8, is a perfect little angel who does everything she's told. The problem is my youngest daughter, who is 6, she's an absolute psychopath. We have no control over her. She runs around smashing our house up while spitting and scratching us. When we put her to bed last night, she came back downstairs, looked us both in the eyes, and told us, "I will kill you sometime."
Oh, wow.
Please help. Hope you're all well. Peace out, Ronan.
Wow.
Whoa. Right. I mean, if that's true,
that's heavy.
Then that is worrying, isn't
that's
it?
That's very The Omen, isn't it?
Yeah.
The evil.
I mean, kids do say the funniest things. And they don't always mean it. But "I will kill you sometime" certainly is not what you want to hear from your 6-year-old.
Have you heard that from any of your kids at any stage?
Yes, I would have to say, yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's not on, because the thing is, I've got a nearly 11-month-old baby, but she can't talk yet.
It'd be pretty big if those were her first words.
That would be
pretty alarming stuff.
If just while I'm feeding her some sort of pureed apple, she turns her head round to me and fixes me, and "I will kill you sometime."
Her head keeps on turning.
Red, red.
So use the apple back at me.
The other thing is that when they're just learning to talk, sometimes you can't quite tell what they're trying to say. So if you're a very paranoid person, you could read all sorts of stuff into their mumblings.
"I'll kill you sometime." And
what was that?
"I'll kill you sometime."
You love me? You love me?
"I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you sometime. Kill you."
Stupid. That sounds like a really old person, though. It's got span the 7 ages.
That's actually what sexy talk with my wife. that is worrying, but I would say don't give up hope. 6 is a tricky age. So is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and all the other ages. Don't get too hung up on "I will kill you sometime." You know, the problem is that there's a lot of reckless influences around these days from the media. And kids have access to all sorts of...
Yeah, had you just watched a prison film with her?
Did you watch Avengement with your 6-year-old daughter? Has she now put tin foil on her upper row of teeth?
My friend had a 5-year-old who was being problematic, and so he put a gate on the bedroom door, and then the 5-year-old started climbing over the gate and getting out at night. So he got a second gate, put it above the first gate, and effectively created like a prison door to the bedroom. And this 5-year-old, he said he came up the stairs, and this 5-year-old in the night had taken his pajamas off, climbed up onto the top gate, and was just pissing through the prison door. Like a dirty protest.
He'd gone Bronson on it. He'd stripped himself off.
Oh, Bronson.
He'd greased himself up, ready to go. Yeah. That's amazing.
That is the thing. That's just reminded me of my son when he was about 2 or something. We heard him crying, went upstairs, and that he had mounted a dirty protest, and it was a spectacular piece of work. And at that moment, your heart really sinks because you think, oh, is this it now? Is this what he's like? Is this going to carry on for a long time? You never know if it's the beginning of a long phase or just a short one. And actually, almost always, it's just a short one. And everything is phases. This is always what I say.
Can I ask, was his dirty protest a short one also, or was that a very long phase?
No, short phase, short phase. It happened only maybe two or three times. Each time, of course, was very distressing for all concerned. But then it just stopped when we started gaffer taping him up.
Well, here's the thing, though, with a phase. It's all well and good saying it's a short phase or a long phase.
Yeah.
But a killing phase, however short, is still a bad phase to go through.
It was only a short killing phase. He only killed three.
It was barely a spree.
Exactly. I've read we need to talk about Kevin, and you know, what does he do? A couple of days. You know, he does an afternoon, really.
It's only an afternoon.
It's a pretty strong phase from our Kev, isn't it?
That's true.
It's a hell of a shift.
Did any of you, when you were young, say anything similar to your parents? I hate you, or I wish you were dead, or something like that.
I definitely did a bit of I hate you. I don't think I ever went as far. I was quite friendly and also quite scared. I went to dad, said that to my mum.
Yeah.
You went the opposite.
She said it to me a lot.
What about I wish I'd never been born?
Yeah, I think I've got to have done.
Yeah.
In fact, my mum and dad promised me we had a loft extension, and there was like four of us. There was no space in the house, and this loft extension was like, this is going to be the future of the house, the loft extension. And they said, right, they said, like, Tom or Beth can have the loft extension. This seems like madness now. They said, well, toss a coin to see who wins the loft extension.
No.
So they tossed a coin and I won the loft extension. And I can remember thinking, this is the best day of my life. And then the next day they said, we've had a rethink and it makes a lot more sense if your two little brothers have the loft extension, so we're giving it to Ed and Tim instead. And I didn't talk to my mum and dad for like 4 days.
Quite right.
It's the first time I can properly remember rebelling against my mum and dad. And so to make it up to me, because they felt so guilty, they said, we're going to get furniture for your new bedroom and it's going to be really nice so you can get whatever you want. And we went to the furniture shop and in my funk, I chose everything black. So I had a pitch black bedroom, black bed, black paper, man. And it was like, because that's how I fit, that's my mood. And I lived in my black bedroom for 3 years.
And I want to paint it black.
Yeah, that was it.
I want Gary Newman posters on the wall, and that's my reference point.
And that's the only time that I ever felt properly like, this is it, man. Crosby, you were a bit of a rebel, weren't you?
Yes, but I didn't.
A very friendly one.
You know
one.
What? I was a rebel, but a pushover. So I would break curfew and stuff. I would go out late at night, but as soon as my dad would work out where I was and like call the house of whoever we were hanging out with, and they would go, right, you've got to go home. I wouldn't be like, you know what, fuck you guys. I'm like, yeah, okay. I didn't have the courage of my convictions. I just I just liked wearing Sex Pistols t-shirts. I didn't actually mean it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did any of you do things like smoke in your rooms or drink a lot of booze at home or anything like that?
Not
massively.
I used to have sleepovers at Ben's house. And so all like the rebelling that I used to do would be at Ben's house. And so whenever Ben would come to my house, we'd always be like, well, we've got to behave ourselves. But then whenever we went round to Ben's, we had a gang called the Male Commandos. That was the name of our gang. And we
our gang was three strong.
Yeah.
And we were still good for a gang.
We were called the Male Commandos. And our motto was all for one and all for babes. Do you remember?
Nice. Watch out, babes.
Yeah.
And your other motto was no underwear, hence the Commandos, wasn't it? Yeah.
And also, no babes, it turns out.
And the closest we get to rebelling, do you remember, Clarkie? We used to sneak downstairs at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch, like, Die Hard. and like Under Siege and stuff
under
like that.
Siege, yeah.
And we had like a way of getting down the stairs without touching the ground. That we kind of
we
felt
had very
like we
creaky
were,
stairs.
We felt like so we were Ocean's 11, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, what, like spreading your legs as far as you can and just stepping on the very edge of the steps?
Stepping on the banisters, even. We climb over the banisters and
down. Wait, could you slide down two banisters on your hands and feet?
Yeah.
Like spread eagle?
Yeah, that's pretty what we used to do. Yeah. And we used to think we were so cool. We'd go over the banister and we'd like swing our sleeping bags to the bottom. Like that, like so that we'd have to carry them, and then we'd go on either side of the banister and spread the eagle our way down the fucking staircase, and then we'd sit in the front room and watch Under Siege. And did we fall asleep one time and get caught by your mum and dad?
Yeah, my dad came down in the morning to the static on the video player.
Oh, that's the closest we got to.
And you were 25.
We were 25 years old. There you go. How about you, Adam? Were you a teenage rebel?
No, I became a handful a bit later on. After I'd left school, probably in my early 20s. Actually, no, I must have been about 18 or 19, and I got a job at a restaurant. And I started having a relationship with a waitress who was quite a bit older than me. And I'd bring her home and we'd sort of have sexy sessions in my bedroom. And it was totally inappropriate in every conceivable way. And I don't know how my parents put up with it.
Yeah.
So your parents could just hear through the door.
It wasn't noisy.
I will cool you sometime. God. I will cool you sometime. Like, oh no.
Oh God. I was just thought that's just brought
Adam's
back.
Adam's at it again.
That's brought Abbott. Back to me a caravan holiday I went on with my mum and dad with my first ever proper girlfriend. And like it, obviously it's a caravan. There's nowhere to go. But obviously because we were 17, we were like, there's no way we can't not have sex.
Yeah.
It's like, just don't have sex. It's four nights. Just don't have sex. We're like, we've got to have
it's
sex.
It's not an option, though.
No, it's just not an option.
Have you been watching Normal People?
Yeah. It was like the opposite of that. Like, it was like so unsexy. Oh, man.
They are unable to stop themselves shagging in Normal People. And I sympathize, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking forward to that stage in my children's development.
Oh my God, yeah, of course you've got that coming up.
I suppose so. If they have the wherewithal, I don't know. Maybe they will.
Well, and especially
maybe
if
they will just be the.
Are they watching Normal People? Because, you know, if you're 15 or 16 at the moment and Normal People's on BBC Three, you're going to be like, oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah. This is me.
I want to study at Trinity.
This is me. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of applicants going to Trinity, aren't there? But like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think like Normal People's going to set the pattern now. If you're 15, 16, you're going to think, oh, okay, here we go. Sexy times.
Yeah, but I mean, most people don't look like those two, though, do they?
No, they certainly didn't at my school.
In your caravan.
They're supposed to be not normal people, but they're both fairly attractive.
Do you think that's what it should be called? Fairly fit people.
Yeah. Unusually attractive people.
Yeah, that's more like it.
I feel like I think I've seen more of her nipples than I've seen of anyone. I've seen more of her nipples than I have of my wife's nipples for the last 25 years, I think. I know them so well. Oh, there they are again. Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you guys for 10 minutes.
Are you going to get them on the podcast for an interview?
They won't appear together. You have to pay twice as much for both.
They've had a huge falling out. Because of the success of the show.
What, the nipples?
Exactly.
The nipples, yeah, they're not.
One is being billed slightly higher than the other one.
They're not.
I can't believe they still do that. I watch a show called Billions, and it stars Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis. And on the credits, Paul Giamatti's name is on the lower left-hand corner of the screen, and Damian Lewis is on the right-hand but slightly higher.
No.
Yes, because they're stupid agents have
towering
baffled it out
style.
So that
My guy has to have his name a little bit higher than your guy. He can, yes, okay, he can have the left, which people read first, but that means that our guy has to be higher, so that it looks like he's more better than your guy, okay?
I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah, you're already on TV. Just enjoy it.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
Anyway, you're listening to Pappy's Flat Slab with Tom, Ben, Adam Buxton, and it's produced by Emma Corsham.
Hey, Emma Corsham.
Matthew Crosby's here.
I would like to point out that I was pleased that we also got to see the man's willy in Normal People.
Oh, yeah, you did get to see his touch, didn't you? Yeah, which was...
I've not seen it yet.
But the willy on the show.
I've got something... the show and the willy.
Is the willy... I'm on, like, episode 4. Is it, like... Do they save it for like the season finale kind of thing?
The Willy's still to come. Yeah, yeah. I think.
Whoa. Well,
yes. No, that's, as far as I can tell, the Willy's come a lot, but yeah, it pops up sort of midway through the university. No, it doesn't again. It's right. Anyway, the Willy makes itself known. That's all I need to say.
The Willy is unzipped and pulled out of the guy's pants, fully erect. There you go. I'm trying to avoid any innuendo. You don't see it fully erect, and also you do see it much less than the nipples. But
there's only one Willy.
There's only one Willy. He's got a more powerful agent. I don't know.
That we were watching it the other day, and there's a. Have you seen the episode where she gets small spoiler, but she gets drunk at a party and goes up to him and says, "I want you to fuck me." Have you seen that bit, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So we were watching that, and this is a genuine sign of the sort of people we're becoming. But my wife and I were watching it, and she went, "Oh dear," just like a knee-jerk reaction. "Oh dear, look, there's no need. There's no need for that. There's no need for you."
Yeah. Well, you can imagine what my wife. I mean, how old are you guys?
I'm 40.
Right, yeah. Okay, so we got 10 years on you. So my wife's version of that was just, "Oh, no, no," and got up and went to make a cup of tea. Because we were watching with our son, right, who's 17.
Oh,
so he's over
God.
In there.
That must be excruciating for you and him.
It's a tough watch for him.
I think he was okay because we were, I mean, I kept on...
Talking about the nipples.
You can imagine what I was like. Yeah, I was just
blithering. Here they are again.
Exactly. When are we going to see the touch, for goodness sake?
Gosh.
I should say as well, by the way, my wife's not 40. She won't like that. She's
right.
Yeah,
okay,
so she's,
yeah, but
she's,
but she is a massive prude.
Total prude. Yes.
Well, she's 55, isn't she?
but
for Ronan, adds up to for Ronan
oh,
is,
yeah.
Don't worry. It'll be fine.
It'll get worse once they become sexually active and start bringing people home. So enjoy it now. Enjoy it now before you get
You'll
to
wish
that.
They had killed you by the time they turn teenager.
Yeah, and if that fails, then go for the old double lock on the door. Two gates that they can piss through. You're fine.
And also, I'm trying to think seriously what I would do if I was them. It's tough, man. Child spitting, scratching... and telling you that they're going to kill you. That is a tough one, especially during lockdown, I would imagine.
Oy, yeah.
But, I don't know, just keep saying, "I love you."
You would be good in prison. You really would.
I think that's beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
My beef is with one of my sons, who is a teenager, and he... has got from somewhere this new technique of arguing, which is whenever we ask him to do something. Recently it was to clean the toilet, we got a couple of toilets, and the one that he uses is like a toilet from the 1970s in a rough pub.
It's got a condom machine
clean
in it.
It does, but it's been smashed.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
All the condoms have gone. And he just won't engage. He's like, why? Why do I need to keep it clean? And so I laugh and I go, well, because it's disgusting. It smells. Can't you smell that? And he goes, no, not really. It seems fine to me. And so then I say, well, it's unsanitary. I mean, especially nowadays, you know, germs. I don't know if you've heard, but we're at war with them, big style. And why not let's all just keep things clean and reduce the chances of people becoming ill from being infected by fucking germs? And he just says, look, I appreciate that you're irritated and this stuff makes sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to me because I'm 15.
Oh, no.
And I know that probably in a few years, I'll understand where you're coming from. But right now, I just don't. And it doesn't make any sense. And it's because I'm 15. It's pretty normal, I think.
So he's using the sort of step back old man argument.
Well, that's amazing.
Like,
that's,
yeah.
It's so good. It's highlighting the fundamental differences between the two of you, which is he's cool and young and he's got his whole life ahead of him and he doesn't care. He doesn't no worries.
He's got perspective and you haven't. That's what he's kind of.
He's got perspective. He loves the smell of old urine.
Love the smell of
me
death.
Because I'm uptight and old. I just don't really like the smell of piss.
Right.
So yeah, he's just using mind games on me, and there's not. I can't really. I just immediately get frustrated, and you know, the more frustrated I get, the less I'm able to argue in a coherent and rational way with him, and so I end up just spluttering and saying, "Just clean the fucking toilet." I don't say fucking, but I do get irritated and say in very strong terms that I think he should clean up the toilet.
Well, we can't solve your problem ourselves, unfortunately, but we do have Fanshawe Standen. In fact, Tom, would you like to go and get Fanshawe Standen, please?
Off we go.
Okay, there we go. So Fanshawe, you've heard Adam's beef here with his son. What's your advice?
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, Adam there, with his little problem, I was listening and thinking to myself, it reminds me of a little story. Now, you probably remember Old Man Jackson 5 over there. Old Man, he lived... Interesting name. I don't know why we called him that. But he lived down the road there, Old Man Jackson 5, with his... He had a little pet horse. Okay. You remember now the horse and he, inseparable, one day walking in the forest there, Jackson 5 and his horse, come across an old well and fall in it. A bold move, people have said. to this day, we never know whether they decided to go in together or ended up there alone. But there they are, bottom of a well. Horse and man and horse, looking up the well. Old Man Jackson 5, he turns to his horse and says, well, what do we do now? Horse looks at him. Couldn't understand a word. I'm going to cut a long story short here. He had to eat the horse. And that's not a... he ate the horse. And we found him 3 days later. And I, to this day, I'll never understand why he didn't just stand on top of that horse. Oh. Well, I'm going to go now. Bye!
Whoa, all right. Well, thanks, Fanshawe. Adam, has that helped you in any way to sort of come to terms with the problems you're going through with your son? Do you think that's brought you a sort of greater understanding of the divide between the two of you?
I should stand on him.
I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to take a very literal interpretation of it, then sure, fair enough. But I think
we'll never.
I think what the judge is saying is stop understanding and start overstanding.
Exactly.
I think there it is.
Exactly.
I think there it might be.
those are words to close on, I'd say. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, by the way, Adam. It's been so nice having you as a guest.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, it's nice to see you guys. I literally, apart from my family, haven't seen another human being in ages and ages.
Well, it's been a real pleasure seeing you.
Really lovely to see you, buddy.
So we just talked very quickly. You've got your audiobook out, which is fantastic.
Oh, don't feel you have to do the plug.
It's, the only reason I'm saying, literally, I'll tell you now that we were recording another episode just before we spoke to you, and I went in to see my wife and my little daughter who are in the other room, and Charlie had been listening to the audiobook and had been crying. She's been so moved by it. She was crying. She absolutely loves it. She thinks it's fantastic.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad she wasn't crying because she felt so angry.
That's money I'm never going to get back.
Exactly. That I was being given a platform for my driveling middle class whines.
No, it's really fantastic, and it's more than an audiobook, isn't it? Because it's got the rambles, and there's this like Spotify playlist you can listen to. We've been listening to around the house. It's really brilliant.
A multi-platform experience.
Exactly.
And the cue chord features heavily in some of the jingles.
Yes.
Oh, now could you play us out with a little cue chord then? Would you mind?
I still feel a bit sad about my improvisation from the first one, but I will do my best. Let's go for rock.
Yeah!
Pappy's...
Here we go!
That's it.
Great.
They call me the king of cue chord improv!
Well, we absolutely loved it. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thanks,
cheers.
Adam.
Cheers. See you soon.
Take care, you guys. See ya.
See bye-bye. You, mate. Bye-bye. From the sorting out your beef. What a treat that was. We could have rambled on all day there, couldn't we?
Yeah, it was really fun. I really wish we could have chatted for even longer, but then that would have been too much, I think. You could have too much of a good thing.
Well, once we'd got into normal people territory.
Feels
like every chat these days ends up talking about normal people. That's like, I always end up talking about normal people.
It's a hell of a show. This episode, as you know, is sponsored by Normal People on BBC Three. Do watch it. Turns out a dressing gown isn't a character, but taking off a dressing gown really is.
Oh, baby.
We've got an email here from... Yes. Do you want to read this one out, Tom? Because it actually pertains to you. This is from Robin via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch.
Please get in touch. Stop messing about.
He's got
get in touch. Hello, Robin. Robin writes, hello, Emma, and the other three. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh. As a patron, I am sad to say that I have a beef with the podcast, but don't worry, the jamboree isn't in danger. I will take these matters no further, but I feel that you should be aware. Firstly, when I was listening to a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts recently, I realised something. Perhaps Fanshawe Standen would be able to tell more apposite stories if you didn't make him stand in the corridor while you go through what the listener's beef is. Interesting.
He makes a very good point here, does Robin, actually.
It's a salient point.
It must be terrible to be asked into a podcast recording and then be forced to say something relevant with no notice, relevance being very kind. I assume that Parry must explain the beef when he goes out to get him, but he only has a few seconds to do so. No wonder some of the stories don't even have a tangential relationship with the beef. Why can't he be in the room so he can hear it when everybody else does? Also, I assume that Mr. Standen is an older gentleman, so I do hope that he has a seat out in the corridor and is comfortable whilst waiting. Secondly, at the risk of proving that people who don't eat gluten don't have a sense of humour. Oh, as a celiac... I have to point out that offering me a rye vita would be a real slap in the face because celiacs can't eat rye either. Sorry, that's delighted me. I don't know why. Celiacs must avoid wheat, barley, rye, and sometimes oat. Despite the mistreatment of Deep South lawyers and celiacs, I love the podcast and it's really brightening up this time in lockdown. Sometimes when I'm listening to you, I have to stop what I am doing because I am laughing so hard. Thanks, Robin. Well, what a lovely email. Thank you for getting in touch, Robin. You make some very, very astute points.
Yes.
You do. Unfortunately, we did try having Fanshawe in the room with us and he talks way too much. And also the smell... is it's too much to take for longer
than
5 minutes.
He also much prefers to be at lunch, he says. So he's he's lunching right up until he gets on the microphone. So he has his methods.
I actually learn a lot from Fanshawe, though. I don't think I've ever come away from Fanshawe thinking, oh, what the bloody hell was that all about? I always think if you look, you know, it's a little bit like a magic eye picture. If you relax your eyes and look beyond what he's saying, then...
Relax your ears and listen beyond
Thank
it.
Thank you, Clarky. That's exactly it. So maybe Robin,
he's like a magic eye
a
picture
more.
In that he was more popular in the 90s. thanks for getting in touch, though, listeners. Please do get in touch. It's so nice to hear from you now more than ever. It's so lovely to have you getting in touch, so please keep on getting in touch.
It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, so please do. And don't forget the Patreon as well, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Loads of fun stuff over there.
Yes.
But all that remains to be said, Tom,
this episode was produced by the one and only Emma Caution team. Have fun out there, guys, or in there. And much love. Cheers, everyone. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.